It is important to understand how the devil works and how God works. One of the things that happens over and over again is whenever you're on track, there's going to be roadblocks that are going to come into your way. Always. David, is that true? David is here. David is moved from Minneapolis. He arrived here last night or yesterday. And he's here because God told him to move to Atlanta and be a part of our church. That's a pretty powerful thing. We met David several years ago in Long Beach at Glory Tabernacle at a missions conference there. Bobby did the same thing when he was in Ohio and said, God's calling me to be a part of this body. You see, those are things that are the spirit realm, not the natural realm. Those are the things that take place seeing with spirit eyes and not the natural eyes. Father, right now, I ask you right now to just be with every part of this message because you have a now word. And we refuse to get into the natural, but we fight in the spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Starts off in Ephesians 1. Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul, and it's one of those prison epistles. He wasn't writing to a prison. He was in prison. He was writing to a church. Now, he is bound by Roman guards, and he sees their uniforms every day and their swords and everything. So he's writing to the church that he loved. And so this is what he says. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So stop right there. You are marked with him with a seal. So if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, if you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are marked with his seal. During this time, the emperors and the Caesars had signet rings. And if they had an official envelope or letter that they would send out, they had a seal that they would imprint on the letter with their ring so that you would know it was official. You are imprinted with the Holy Spirit. It's basically saying who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions. So the Holy Spirit is your deposit. Have you ever put down a deposit on something? It means it's a portion of that payment. It's just to keep it. It's yours. If you're going on the cruise with us, your deposit's $100. You put it down. Okay, the rest is coming in August when it's time to pay. But right now, I'm holding that cruise. In home group this week, Nicole brought up, we were talking about redemption, and she brought up, her thought was those Coke bottles. You ever hear those? We're dating ourselves. Those of us who are older, Coke came in these bottles that on the very bottom of it, it was imprinted with 10 cents, whatever it was. You could redeem those bottles because they would reuse them, and then you would get money for them. But it was imprinted. You are imprinted with his name on you. You can turn you upside down. Your world is turned upside down, and on the bottom, it has Jesus. You're imprinted with him. You are, the Holy Spirit is that deposit promising that there is more to come. So he's saying, who is a deposit, the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance? That inheritance is Jesus and his kingdom until the redemption of those who are God's possessions. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all, say all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Then he says this, I pray that the eyes of your spirit be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So it is my, Pastor Keith's, prayer today for the gathering place, Atlanta, that your eyes of your spirit may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Father, I pray for every eye in this place to be opened and enlightened in Jesus' name. Amen. When we talk about eyesight, I think of animals, and I've preached, one of my favorite messages that I've preached before is about the eagles. And eagles, it's funny, it comes from the book of Job, which is an interesting book. I was talking to someone this week about Job, and God led this person to read Job, and it's opening up his eyes. But it says, "Does the eagle soar at your command and build its nest on high? It dwells on a cliff and stays there at night. A rocky crag is its stronghold. From there it looks for food. Its eyes detect it from afar." Now, there are a lot of references in Scripture about eagles comparing them to Christians. And I've done a whole series on the eagle Christian. One of the things about the eagle is bald eagles generally live to be 70 years old. That's their lifespan. When you spread wingtip to wingtip, the average is about 6 to 7 feet. They are monogamous. Eagles mate for life. What happens with the eagle, and I wasn't going to go here, but I cannot pass this because it's new to some people, but the eagle knows it's a lifetime commitment. So when it's time to find a partner, oh, this is good. When it's time to find a partner, that female eagle is the one who takes the initiative. Kind of typical, isn't it? So the males are just out there, and the female's like, "I have a plan. I know what I need. This is the rest of my life." Right, Karen? She's nodding. Jose's like, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." So what the eagle does is she looks for any males that may be fit for her. And this is how she tests them. She says, "You may look good on the outside, but I need to know if you can cut the mustard for the rest of your life. Are you able to be there for me and to work with me and to raise children with me and to be my mate?" So what the eagle does is she plays hard to get. It's like, no. I've got some qualifications first. The first one is, I want to see how strong you are. So what she does is she picks up this stick. She starts flying. She says, "Okay, follow me. If you want to be with me, follow me." So she goes and she flies and she drops the stick from 100 feet up. And that eagle, male eagle, if he's interested, will fly up, grab that stick, and come and drop it at her feet on the ground. She then finds a bigger stick, and she drops it. And that male eagle says, "You are the one for me. I know." Takes off and catches that stick and goes and drops it at her feet. The largest log she can possibly carry, she takes that log and she flies fairly low to the ground and drops it. And if that eagle flies and catches that log and lays it at her feet, she says, "Okay, you are the one. You have passed your test." If he drops it, she will not choose that eagle as a mate. It's a great story. Michael Ziegler coined this as, "Don't be a stick dropper." Don't date a stick dropper. If they don't love the Lord, if they don't want to serve God, if they don't have their eyes fixed on heaven, then they're not carrying the stick. And those are the sticks that are going to build the nest for your future, the rest of your life. So it's so important when you're dating, date a stick holder. And what a testimony that is, because you know what? Others have come and you're like, "Nope, you dropped the stick. Uh-uh. I'm waiting for the right one." And some of you are so anxious to build a nest, but you don't want to build a nest with somebody who's going to drop the sticks all the time, or you're going to have half a nest. That'll preach. You need somebody that's going to be able to carry all the logs and help you build the nest together. So the eagle is smart about that. But the thing I want to focus on the eagle is his vision. He has visual acuity. It doesn't mean he can just see something far. It's when he sees something in the distance, he can see the depth perception of it. If I see something across the street, I can see what it is, but that eagle can focus on the integral parts of that, to the point that if he is a half a mile away from a rabbit, he can actually watch its body go in and out when he breathes, because he has visual acuity. That's spiritual eyes. You see, you're not just seeing a one-dimensional thing. You're seeing the breadth, in and out, depth of what you're looking at. That's a visual cue. That seeing was spiritual eyes. The natural sees the rabbit, but the spiritual eyes see it breathing. So we need to see with eagle vision. So what I want you to figure out today is, are you looking at things natural or in the spiritual realm? An eagle will have two sets of eyelids. Did you know that? They have the one eyelid, like ours, that basically protects its eye when they blink. But they have another eyelid that allows it to cover the eye so they can look directly at the sun. So when the enemy is chasing the eagle, when the enemy's on his tail, he can go right toward the sun, and he puts that lid down and fly directly toward the sun. All of the foes that are chasing him can't do that. So they're blinded by the light. So when the devil's on your tail, and every demon in hell is behind you chasing you, go toward the light. Because they don't like the light. Darkness does not like the light. Go toward the light. The eagle has those two eyelids. They also have something in their eye that is a liquid. And this liquid is, when they're born, it begins to harden by about 6 months. It's more liquid, and it becomes a little more hard in their eye, and it allows them to actually get a compass of where they're located. Every eagle will have an area that that eagle and that mate are going to stay in, usually no more than a mile. They don't go out of that area. It's that they call them their gorge. It is their area that they hunt in, that they live in, because, you know, the eagle builds one nest. They don't build multiple nests all over the place. Like, we have a nest in our backyard, you know, and it falls down every year. The birds come, and not an eagle. He builds that one nest. That's really your kingdom. You think about your life. Your life is that nest, and it's built. Now, every year he renews it, and he puts new sticks in it, but it's that same nest. And God is renewing in you and putting new sticks and things in you. The main thing is that the eagle understands that if he gets out of his gorge, he will begin to get a pain in his eye. It's like a magnetic compass. So it hardens in the area that they are supposed to be in. And when they get too far away, they begin to feel a low-level pain, saying, wait a minute, you're outside of your gorge. Get back in. Now the Holy Spirit does that for us. Okay, I know where I'm at. Woo, I'm over. I was like, Keith, this is not really where you need to be. You need to move back to the center of where I need you. I was thinking about this on the way over here today. I love the charismatic churches. I love full gospel churches. I love prophetic churches. I was raised Baptist, and let me tell you, without the Holy Spirit intricately in the service, it is very ritualistic and very religion-based. Doesn't do anything for me. Now, I learned a lot of things, but when I got into, you felt it this morning. You sensed the worship. You sensed the anointing. You know what I'm talking about. When you infuse the Holy Spirit, things change. But the devil likes to either stop you from going forward or push you to get you out of step. So what happens a lot of times with these churches is they get so crazy that they miss the middle of the road. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you guys are staying pretty much in the middle. We're going to stay focused on Jesus and focused on the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit, which encompasses the spiritual gifts, but stays center to the gospel. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. That is the message. It is a life or death message. And when we play with that, we are playing with the life and death of people. So we stay focused, but we do understand the difference of spiritual eyes. So natural eyes. Natural eyes look at a circumstance without the Spirit. They look at it in logic. How many of you see things in the natural more than the Spirit? How many of you think you see things in the Spirit more than you used to see things in the Spirit? I do. I'll tell you something that happened to us. I never really say anything about his age. Okay? But he's a little older than I am. And I'm getting really far away from him. But you have no idea how what his age really is. He doesn't like to say it. But let me just tell you, he can retire next year at the age of 60. When you're young and good-looking, that's God. When you're 60 and good-looking, you've done something. Everybody's like, you've got to be kidding. Amazing, isn't it? Good living does a lot of stuff good. But let me tell you, this is why I'm going here. I was praying about this before, so God did give me permission. I am working at home, I think it's a Monday, and I hear him going down the steps, and I hear him fall. This was a few months ago. Boom, ouch! And he says, I think I just broke my foot. The natural wants to say, oh no, God, we've been robbed 3 times. His car's been stolen. He just had cancer. That's the natural. But I heard the Spirit saying, I've got this. I'm in this. That's the difference. The circumstance looks the same as the other, but I heard the Spirit say, I am in this. See, Ed had taken real estate classes online, and he had completed them when he was dealing with the cancer. But now, he flies out every week. So there is no possible way he can find a broker and go through their training to put to practice the things that he prepared for when he retires from the airlines next year. Got this? So I heard so clearly. So when he's looking for the place to go, it's like 6 weeks that he's out, and they're like, well, you have to go through 4 weeks of training. It's pretty much now he's going to have his first open house today, and he starts flying next week. You see, the timing was God. God carved that little time out for him to be able to get ready when he's retired to transition into what his next step is. Had I not heard it in the Spirit, I would have gone crazy. Like, oh, what are we going to do? You're going to be out of work again. And you know those kind of things in the natural that come against you? But for some reason, and I think I was working on a message, whatever it was, my head was in the Spirit at that time and I heard it. So when you're faced with issues, you have a choice. Do you see them with the natural, or do you hear and see them with the Spirit? Things are not always going to be rosy and perfect, but God can be in the center of things that are not. And it's whether you look through natural eyes or you look through Spirit eyes, and that's going to be the difference. Do you see things through logic? Or do you see things with enlightened eyes through the Spirit? Oh God, enlighten our eyes that we may see and know the hope of your calling. That we may see and know you're in the midst of this situation. Get us out of logic and into Spirit. Logic gets me in trouble every time. Logic looks at circumstances, it looks at emotions and feelings, but the Spirit directs me into truth every time. There's so many things. Last week, I made the deposit for the church. I'm doing the admin deacon stuff, and I'm making the deposit. And I'm glad I don't do it all the time, because I saw how much was given. Thinking, God, this does not match up with what we need. I mean, I know that we pay about $4,000 a month for rent and utilities here, and the deposit is $695. How can this work? And he said, stop looking at the natural. He's got this. So you may look at your paycheck and your bills and say, this is not lining up. So God, put on my Spirit eyes that sees you as Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. It sounds great in church, but real life situations, things will get hard. He promised us that. But when you see through the Spirit eyes, oh, it's so much different. I pray that your eyes are enlightened today. I pray that those things that are taking place in your life are not just distractions and burdens, but that you can see the Spirit in every part of them. The Holy Spirit wants to direct you by His Spirit, not by your logic. I implore you today to put on the eyes of your Spirit. If there's a circumstance that you're looking at, a relationship, don't just look at it in the natural. When you put on the Spirit, it's going to tell you, wait a minute, this may not be the relationship for me. Or it may say, I need to change my relationship with this person. Put on the eyes of the Spirit, because those are the eyes we need to live by. Amen. Would you stand with me for 1 second? As I pray for every person here, I pray that the eyes of their understanding are enlightened, enlightened, enlightened. That not natural circumstances, not those natural things, not those natural logical equations. Sometimes we look for the answers by looking at equations, and that is not the answer. The answer is God. The answer is the Holy Spirit. The answer is Jesus in every situation. It may not make any sense, but He still knows what's going on. It's our job just to see through His eyes. So today, my prayer is that we will have eyes enlightened in the Spirit. Enlightened in the Spirit. So that we may know the hope of His calling. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.